Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," so they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw out some and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May our words and thoughts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Water plays a very major part in St. John's Gospel and in Christ's ministry. He was baptized in water. It was through water that he showed his first sign of divine power in John's Gospel at the marriage feast. In his preaching, he called all who thirst to the water of living springs. When he spoke of love, he numbered among the works of charity giving a cup of cold water to your neighbor. On one occasion, as he was on his journeys, he rested beside a well. He walked on water. He crossed the Sea of Galilee, quite freely, quite frequently. He washed the feet of his disciples in water. Water continued to bear witness even in his passion. When he was condemned to the cross, water played its part as Pilate's hands were washed in water. And then, of course, in John's Gospel, we have that very clear little remark that when he was pierced by the soldier's lance, water and blood gushed from his side. So water is a very major part of this particular gospel and Jesus' ministry. And this morning we're going to think about the second point. It is through water that he showed his first sign of divine power at the marriage feast. Now that marriage feast was an intimate domestic disaster. Jesus was called upon to rescue it. And in the story, we hear how Jesus turned the water in those jars to a rich, exotic wine. This is the opening for Jesus' ministry in St. John's Gospel, the first of the signs. It symbolizes the start of the Messianic age, the coming of the kingdom. Written by John, a Jew, to Jews, and is found only in this one gospel. In this story, the key thing is that water is changed into wine. Water that is kept for purification, i.e., obeying the Jewish law, is transformed, is changed. Water in this context represents the rites of the existing order of Judaism. Six jars of it. Six is a slightly strange number. It's not the number we would normally associate with gospel accounts, where it might be one, it might be three, it might be seven, all of which have significance. But six, it's a sort of imperfect number, because the complete number, the divine number, is seven. And the jars of water are huge. We're told that they can hold 20 to 30 gallons each. Just think about trying to lift 20 to 30 gallons. So, six of those, perhaps 120 gallons of water. They're monster jars, a huge amount, which in our terms equals something like 700 to 1,000 bottles of wine. Vast quantity indeed. The miracle happens through the persistence of Mary, who tells the servants, do what he says, and then the obedience of the servants, who do what they're told. But what do we infer from this miracle? John very clearly calls it a sign. And when he wrote the gospel after Jesus' life, he must have remembered these miracles and decided they were pointers, they were signs, pointing to what Jesus was about, who Jesus was. And this sign points us to change, transformation. One thing becomes another. Something of a lower, more menial order, water, becomes something of a much higher value, water to wine. And in that same way, we're asked to remember that we can be transformed, we can be changed from something everyday to something special. This change also represents or reminds us that the old law has passed and the new law, the new grace, has succeeded it. Shadows fade and truth appears. Flesh gives way to the Spirit. The Old Testament, the old law, becomes the New Testament, the new covenant. And Jesus, as he frequently talks about, makes all things new. The water in the jars didn't diminish in quantity, but began a new mode of existence. Just as Christ didn't destroy the old law, but brought it to its fulfillment. So it is with us. When we encounter Jesus, we are changed. We are transformed from within. It's not a transformation which is a bit of a fairy story, happily ever after, that sort of thing. It's a transformation which occurs at a very deep level, not superficial at all, because the transformation that John talks about, the transformation that we are asked to think about within us, is a deep spiritual transformation. An encounter with our Lord alters our whole existence. We're no longer bound to the old way of life. We don't endure desolate emptiness, but embrace a new identity as we become the beloved. As the beloved, we reflect joy and delight and love, a relationship with God, and enjoy His grace, ever-flowing grace forever. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.